You are listening to a sermon by Laura Sportak, recorded on Sunday, February 14th, 2021, at Point Grey Inter-Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
So many of you will have noted that today is not only Valentine's Day, it's also Transfiguration Sunday. And if you'd like a musical meditation on that, I direct you to Evan's Sunday morning meditation. And this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. However, as I was preparing for today, I found that I was still stuck on one of the names of God that we usually only hear at Christmas, the name Emmanuel. God is with us. And the title of my message is really one word. It's the word with. With. In this year of physical distancing, the richness of the meaning in this name of God has grown considerably for me. With can mean a number of things, but really it is the physical presence of another person that has become the gold standard of with. Being with you on Zoom, or via text messaging, or on the phone, or even I am with you in spirit through my thoughts and prayers, can't hold a candle to being in the same room with you, exchanging the physical greetings of hugs, handshakes, catching the fleeting expressions on your faces, just noticing those details that you can only notice when a person is inside your bubble of, what is it, the personal bubble of 2 feet around you. Today is Valentine's Day, and whatever else that might mean, it is in large part the celebration of physical love. We rarely think of this day as a religious holiday, and as Alice mentioned, the Catholic Church has decided the same thing and decommissioned dear old Saint Valentine. Yet our scriptures do include the Song of Songs. And also for today's reflection, more importantly, our faith proclaims the withness of a physically risen Lord. Indeed, Jesus only claims the name of Lord because death was defeated as evidenced by a physical and alive human body. We call this the resurrection. The resurrection affirms that the body of Jesus was and is essential, and it's the essential witness that God is love. The present-day theologian and academic and pastor who most clearly articulates this foundational claim of the Christian faith is N.T. Wright, also widely known as Tom Wright. Tom Wright has directly challenged the foggy notion of going to heaven when you die as the central hope of our faith. In his book, Simply Christian and Surprised by Hope, he spells out in considerable detail, far greater detail than I will go into today, what our scriptures do and do not say about what we as Christians since the first century have primarily hoped for. He states, God's kingdom in the preaching of Jesus refers not to post-mortem destiny, not to our escape from this world into another one, but to God's sovereign rule coming on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is not some far and distant location that we get spirited off to when we die, leaving behind all the mess of a polluted planet and our ailing bodies. Heaven, rather, is the realm in which God's purposes are fully realized. It's a present reality, the heavenly dimension of our present life. Heaven in the Bible is not a future destiny, but the other hidden dimension of ordinary life, God's dimension. So God made these two dimensions, and the biblical plan is that at the end, God will remake both heaven and earth and join them together forever. And it is the physical resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth that demonstrates for us a little of what this will look like. A physically risen Jesus is the first fruits of this union of heaven and earth. So Kevin, you can put up the two pictures just for a few seconds each. And in the email sent out for this service, there are three artistic depictions of the resurrection, two paintings and a poem. This first painting by Caravaggio is graphically physical, and it depicts Thomas with his finger in Jesus' wound. Thomas needed the physical presence of Jesus in order to really believe what he was seeing. In fact, he needed it so physically, he needed to touch him, not just see him. The biblical post-resurrection stories are full of all kinds of wonderful details, like Thomas putting his hand into the wound in Jesus' side. And in the next painting, we see the wounded hands of Jesus that broke the bread for the Emmaus travelers. The wounds would have still been evident. In the Gospel of John, we are told in the reading we heard, we're told about a breakfast of bread and roasted fish that Jesus also shared with some disciples. On the beach, by the sea, with all the smells of the water and the sand and the fish roasting. Think about what "with" might have meant in each of these encounters. What is the memory of Jesus? Far more than what he said or taught. And in the wonderful poem by Scott Cairns, we get to hear Mary Magdalene's ponderings on the meaning of Jesus' physical body. We hear her saying, "I have kissed his feet. I have looked long into the trouble of his face and met in that intersection the sacred place where body and spirit both abide." Mary recognizes that the divide in her culture, which viewed the body as something less than honorable and viewed the spirit as something pure, was a false division. And that false division has persisted over 2,000 years of our faith history. It keeps cropping up each generation. When Paul in 1 Corinthians speaks of our resurrection bodies as being spiritual bodies, it's the word "bodies" that has priority. Spiritual is the descriptor of the transformation that our resurrected physical bodies will have undergone. What he means is that our resurrected physical bodies will be transformed not into a non-material entity, but rather into incorruptible bodies like Jesus' resurrection body that we saw depicted in the artwork, animated by spirit yet fully physical. In our day, this old heresy that would deny the physical resurrection in favor of a merely ghostly existence after death has had at least two consequences. it has allowed us to think of our planet as disposable. For if we get spirited away to some distant heaven, why bother caring for the physical planet? And secondly, it has turned our witness to the promise inherent in the resurrection into a milquetoast vision of an ephemeral eternity on a cloud with a harp in which there is little to do. No wonder our witness often has not inspired people. Rather, there is much to do. Eugene Peterson has observed, the resurrection requires a conclusion that only physical participation can supply. Emmanuel, the God who is with us, invites our participation in the work of that future in which all the physical ills of the planet will be put right, not by some magic spell, but by our work together with God, with each other, in a great project of a renewed creation where heaven and earth are one. And that work has already started. Every good work that has ever been done, that is being done today, and that will be done in the future, is a manifestation of this new creation. The good work doesn't get lost. The love story of the Bible is therefore a love story about a body. Certainly it is more than that, but the resurrected body of Jesus demonstrated the power of love that transcends all else. The story calls us to respond with love, and it is love that believes the resurrection. In love, we proclaim the radical hope of our faith that one day the thin veil that divides heaven and earth will vanish, and the God of love will indeed be with us in the body of Jesus. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So on this Valentine's Day, I would like to hold up the name of Emmanuel, the God who is with us. May the Lord be with you, is our dearest wish and our eternal hope. Thank you.